Well, man, I tell you what, one of the best things I love about the Word of God is that the Word of God will always prepare you for those things which are to come. See, the Word of God is never there to scare you. In fact, this whole message about setting the record straight is all about not scaring you, but preparing you for those things which are to come. See, even Jesus modeled this when he was with his disciples all the way back when he was walking on the earth. And he said this to them in Matthew 24. And we're going to start at verse number 3. And we're going to be talking about how the signs of the time. And you will be surprised that one of the main reasons or one of the main things that is a sign of the time is so obvious, but yet is very subtle. Are you interested? Let's go ahead and dive right in. See, we'll find out here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. It says this. It says, "Now, as he," talking about Jesus, "sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be?'" When he was talking about, you know, these buildings, they were showing Jesus around the city, and they was showing him about all these buildings, and Jesus says, you know, not long after this, all these temples will be falling down, and all these rocks will be falling down on one another. And they asked Jesus, "Jesus, tell us, when will these things happen to the temple?" Then they asked him a second question, "And what will be the sign or the indicator of your coming?" And then they asked him a third question, "And what is the sign or the indicator of the end of the age?" And this is what Jesus said to them. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive or mislead or wrongly represent many." When you are deceived, you are misled. In fact, the word deception simply means the act of deceiving or misleading, a state of being deceived or misled. So he says, how will you know when the time in the end of this time is coming? How will you know when my return is near? He says the number one indicator, the number one sign that you will know that my return is imminent, it can happen at any moment, as many people will begin to be deceived. Many people will begin to be misled. We also find this. How do you know this is true? Well, you know, let the word of God says, let every word be established by two or more witnesses. Let's find another place where the same point is made. The apostle Paul, writing to Tim, says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says this. He says, "Now the Spirit," talking about the Holy Spirit, "expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving or misleading spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking" what? "Lies and hypocrisy." Hypocrisy seems to me in pretense, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. He says, "I'm telling you, Timothy, before it ever happens, this is going to be the sign, or these things are going to begin to happen in the latter times, that many will begin to depart from, some will begin to depart from the faith." Why will they depart from the faith? Because they're giving heed or giving attention to misleading spirits and teachings or doctrines of demons. And what will they do? They will begin speaking lies and hypocrisy or in pretense, making you believe that it's true when all the while it's a lie, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. Now, Paul, writing to the church of Rome, says this, glory to God. This is why we're talking about, you have to set the record straight, because if somebody doesn't set the record straight, many people will be deceived. And he wrote this to the church of Rome about people who said, you would think in a natural, man, these guys are on the right path. This is what he said. He says this to them. Romans chapter 10, verse number 2. I'm reading out of the Amplified. He says this. He says, "I bear them witness." Paul, talking about Jews, he says, "I bear them witness that they have a certain zeal and enthusiasm for God, but it's not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge." In other words, you have a zeal, you have an enthusiasm, you might even have a passion for God, but your zeal and your passion and your enthusiasm are not according to correct our vital knowledge, which means what? You can be believing a lie and it not be the truth, and you believe you're on the right way, and in fact you're on the wrong way. Paul goes on and says, he says, why is it that they're not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge? He says, because for being ignorant, or that word ignorant means lacking of knowledge about what? The righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word, thought, and deed. He says, you're ignorant of God's righteousness. And what you have done is, because you're ignorant of his ways, you have gone about doing what? He says the second part, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own. They did not obey or submit themselves to the righteousness of God. What did he say to you? He says, you have a zeal for God. You have a hunger for God. You have an enthusiasm for God, but not according to knowledge. He says, because you're ignorant, or you have no knowledge of God's righteousness, you have made a decision. I'm going to seek and establish my own righteousness, and I'm going to offer it up to God. And says, God, here it is. Here it is, buddy. Go ahead and receive it. And see, we talked about this last week, about setting the record straight about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He makes you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we spent last week, so if you didn't catch us last week, man, go back and listen to the first setting about setting the record straight, when we're talking about how are you made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what Paul was saying, he's like, hey, there's many people out there who have a hunger for God. They have a zeal for God. They have an enthusiasm for God, but not according to his knowledge. He says they because they're ignorant of God's righteousness and ignorant of how he establishes righteousness, they have made a decision. I'm going to establish my own righteousness. And he says, and the reason why is because they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. In other words, the righteousness of God was always there available to them, but they made a decision. I'm not going to submit to that. I'm going to come up with my own ways. Remember, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says what people will begin to fall away from the faith, the true faith. Why? Because they have begun to give attention or paid heed to what? To deceiving or lying or misleading spirits and false teachings or doctrines of demons. What is it going to cause them to do? It's going to cause them to be deceived. And when they begin to come up with their own methods, they're going to say stuff like, you know, you don't have to get saved. You don't have to believe on that Jesus stuff. All you got to do is let your good outweigh your bad. And you don't have to do all that. All you got to do is go to the confession booth. And when you make your confessions, now you can live like a hellion the rest of your time. But when you go to confess every 5, 6, 10, 11 years, or whatever the case may be, and you pray to Mary, or you pray to the saints and you burn enough candles, that's how you're going to get in. Ladies and gentlemen, let me help you understand something. You can burn candles and time gets better. You can pray to Mary until your lips fall off. You can try to do as much good according to the world system that never aligns with God's system, and none of that will make you right with God. Absolutely none of it. And that's why we talked about last week, when you're talking about how do I receive the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Well, even though they were ignorant of God's righteousness, even though it was made available to them, we set the record straight last week talking about how do you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Romans chapter 3, verse 21, I'm reading out of the Amplified, says it this way: but now the righteousness of God has been revealed independently and altogether apart from the law. Did y'all hear there? Apart from the law means you don't have to try to earn it. You don't have to do a whole bunch of good works to be made the righteousness of God. On the contrary, your works, which says in, I believe it is Isaiah 64, talks about it this way. Your works, you trying to establish your own righteousness, no matter how good you think they are, no matter how well intended they are, it's like filthy rags. It's like filthy rags. Why? Because you still have and hold on to the nature of sin. You will still be bound up in iniquities and transgressions because you're trying to do it in your own strength. And the law was there to show you, according to Galatians chapter 3, was to show you that you could not keep the law in and of your own strength, and you would need a savior, someone who would go on in on your behalf, and he would lay down his life, and he would be willing to take every sin and every iniquity and every transgression and every sickness and disease on his own body. His name is Jesus. And what did it say in Isaiah 53:5? He says, he was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And not only healed, we are made whole. Who was that who did all those things? His name is Jesus. So he's saying here in Romans chapter 3:21, he says, the righteousness of God has been revealed independently and altogether apart from the law, although it actually is attested by the law and the prophets, namely this, the righteousness of God, which comes by believing with personal trust and confidence, reliance on Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is meant for all who believe. So how do you receive the righteousness of God? By believing with personal trust and confidence, reliance on Jesus, the Messiah. And it is meant for who? All those who will believe it. He says, even though it's been made available to you, even though I'm telling you how you're able to receive it, you will not be able to partake of it unless you believe it. Believe it means you are totally convinced. You're trusting in what it is the Word of God says. And because His Word says it, I believe it. Because God's Word says it, I receive it. Because God's Word says it, I'm going to act on it. Now, how do you qualify to receive the righteousness of God? Can I tell you, everybody who's ever been born on planet Earth qualifies to receive the righteousness of God. What makes you eligible to receive the righteousness of God? Well, he goes on to say this in verse 20. He says, for there is no distinction, since all. How many people? All. How many people? All people have sinned and have fallen short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives. In other words, he says, all, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us, in order to receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, would have to believe in, trust in, have total confident reliance in the Lord Jesus Christ and what it is that he did for us on the cross. Now, remember, you cannot earn the righteous. You cannot earn righteousness. Remember, we talked about if you try to make up your own righteousness, it's as filthy rags. And why could those who had a zeal for God, enthusiasm for God, even a passion for God, but they didn't have it according to God, why did they not receive the righteousness of God, which is made available to them in Christ Jesus? Because they were ignorant or had no knowledge on how to become the righteousness of God, not because it wasn't available to them, but they made a decision to seek their own righteousness, and they made a decision not to obey or to submit to God's ways of doing things. And ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? Nobody in this world can earn the righteousness of God. In fact, Jesus said this, as you were. Paul said this right into the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. He says this. Again, I'm reading from the Passion, as you were, the Amplified Version. It says this: for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride themselves in it to take glory to himself. What is he saying? He says, it's by grace, God's grace, through your faith in what? In fact, in the faith of what it is Jesus has already done for you on the cross. He says, are you saved? That word saved, sozo, means healed, set free, delivered, and made whole, complete. He says, it's by grace through faith, he says, that are you saved, not of works, not of your own abilities, not that you were so good, not that you did everything right, not that you had it going on, not that you did all this. He says it's by grace, through faith in what it is Jesus did for you on the cross. Are you saved? Not of works. It is a gift from God, so you nor I or anyone else on earth can ever boast that I did it my way and my way brought about this salvation. Oprah says all kind of stuff that ain't right. Harry Christian said all kind of things that aren't right. There's a lot of people saying a whole, you know, you've heard Oprah say there's more than one way to get to God. Well, Jesus would balk at that when he says in John chapter 14, I believe it's verse 6, where he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No man, woman, boy, girl, or child gets to the Father except through and by me. You cannot get to the Father apart from the Son, and you can't get to the Son unless the Holy Spirit leads, and you can't get there unless God had already sent Jesus and had the Holy Spirit in the earth. The three are three different operating as one. So in order to receive the righteousness of God, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In order for you to have the God kind of life or eternal life, because remember, that's what Jesus said he came to give in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, I came that you, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He says, but I came. Jesus says, but I came. But Jesus said, but I came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Remember, we began talking about the fact that in the latter times, when how will you know that Jesus, the end of this age is coming? How do you know about the Jesus return? He says, be mindful, be aware, be on guard, because deception or misleading of people will be running rampant. He says it's going to be in all places. Everywhere you look, there's going to be deception. And he says it's going to be like in the days of Noah, where every man's thought was evil continuously. He goes on to say this in Paul writing here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, remember, he says the people had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So they came up with their own way of righteousness. Paul goes on to say this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He says this, why are we talking about setting the record straight? He says, because the time will come, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Remember, 1 Timothy 4 says that 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about how that they will begin to give heed to or attention to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devil. How does that happen? Because 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says this. He says, the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. He says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, which says, teacher, scratch my ears, give me something good to hear. He says that because they have itching ears and they're not willing to endure sound doctrine, what will they begin to do? They, talking about the ones who have the itching ears, will begin to, those who no longer want to endure sound doctrine, what will they do? They will begin to heap up or build up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So what happened? They made a decision. I don't want to hear that sound doctrine. I don't want to hear the truth. I'm going to turn away from what the word of God says. Remember, because we talked about the word in John 17, 17, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. They make a decision to turn away from what is true and give attention or heed to that which is a lie. Why? Because it scratches their ears. It makes them feel good. There's no pressure on them. It sounds like, we call it a TED talk. When you go to church and it sounds like a TED talk, or you go to a meeting and it sounds like a TED talk. There's nothing you have to change. God loves you. You don't have to, you just be whoever you are. God just accepts you how you are. Now you can come to him how you are. That's 100% true. You can come to him how you are, but you can't stay there. He doesn't expect you to stay there. You might begin there, but you're not expected to stay there. You want to know why? Because the moment that you come to God, the moment you say you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you said, you know what? I make Jesus the Lord, the master, the owner, the possessor, the one who has first influence and rank in my life. When I say I've made him the Lord of my life, he gets the final say, and it's no longer I no longer live by my own ways, my own thoughts, my own ambitions, but I live according to the faith and by the faith of the one who gave his life a ransom for me. I no longer live unto myself. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. I believe it's verse 15 talking about, we believe he one died for all, then all died. And now all those who live should no longer live unto themselves, but live unto the one who gave his life for them, because Jesus gave his life for us. He's saying, hey, because I gave my life for you, why wouldn't you be willing to do the same thing I've already done for you? But when you turn aside away from truth, when you make a decision, I don't want to do it that way, I'm going to come up with my own way. God, I'm going to offer this up to you, and you're going to have to accept it. God says, never going to get it. Never going to happen. He also goes on and says, and see, this is the thing about it is, Paul is not only saying this to Timothy. He's not only saying this, you know, when he's talking about the people at Rome. He's even talking about this at the church of Corinthians when he's writing to them the second letter. And he says unto them, he says in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 3, verse 4, he says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent, talk about Satan, deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. He says, the same way the adversary came to steal, kill, and destroy Eve in the garden through his craftiness, he says, it's the same way, he says, that your minds, your mind, will, and emotion can be corrupted from the what? The simplicity that is in Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul goes on to say this. He says, what makes Paul think that you could have your minds corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ? He says, this is how it goes down. This is how the adversary is going to try to what? Deceive you or mislead you. He says, for if he who comes, or if someone else comes, who preaches what? Another Jesus, or a pseudo Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he or she comes and you receive a different spirit, which is not the Holy Spirit, which you have not received, he says, or they begin and they're going to do what? They're going to preach to you a different gospel, which you have not accepted. You may put up with it. He says, it's not the fact, not even the fact that they're going to come at you. It's the fact that you are willing to put up with it. He says, they'll teach you about a different Jesus, that Jesus loves you. So he never expects anything different of him. He'll never allow you to go to hell. He's already paid everything for you. You can just live any old kind of way you want to live, because you got grace, and grace covers everything you do. Grace does not empower you or license you to sin. Grace empowers you, enables you to overcome sin every single time. When it comes knocking on your door, it sees a for sale sign on it, sold. There is no entrance here. When they'll talk to you about a different Holy Spirit, they'll say that they're spiritual. Well, which means that they can be influenced by all kinds of spirits. It does not necessarily mean that they are being influenced, but are led, are directed, are guided by the Holy Spirit, and they'll teach you a different kind of doctrine other than the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through him. They'll tell you that there's all kind of ways to God. There's all kind of ways to get into heaven, and God loves you so much, he'll never send you to hell. You're 100%. God will never send you to hell, but he will honor your decision to go. And how would he, what would have ever somebody, why would somebody ever make a decision to go to hell? Because the moment that you rejected Jesus Christ, the moment you rejected what he did for you on the cross, the moment you made a decision to say, I have a zeal for God, but I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to present another way to God. And that's how I'm going to have the righteousness of God. He says, the moment you make a decision to come up with your own way of doing things apart from his, you have already made a decision that hell will be your home. He didn't have to make a decision for you. He didn't have to send you there. You made a decision on your own to go there yourself. Paul says this to the church of Galatians. Now, these are people who were born again, but they was being what? They was being drawn away. They was being enticed. They was presenting a different Jesus, a different gospel than what it is Paul taught. He says this in verse 6, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him. From who? From Jesus, who called you in the grace of Christ. To what are they turning away? They're turning away from Jesus. And what are they doing? He says this, and you're turning to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They want to do what? They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. What was the gospel? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. And how do you receive the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus? By believing in, trusting in, having confident reliance in Jesus and believing in him. It's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift from God. It is the gift from God. So he says, Paul says, even though we have taught you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have given, talked to you and taught you about the kingdom of God. We have talked to you about how you become the righteousness of God. Even though you know all these things, there are some other people who are coming alongside and they're going to try to teach you a different gospel, about a different Jesus, about a different Holy Spirit. And he says, they are there to do what? Trouble you and make you think you have the wrong gospel. And what they're really doing is they're perverting the gospel. Now, what does perversion mean? Perversion simply means this: turning aside, hence distorting from the right. It says basically what perversion done is the act of perverting or turning from truth and changing something to something that is worse. So what this perversion does, it takes something that is truth, something that is right, something that is correct, and it turns you away from that truth. And it actually, its intent or object is to change it into something that is worse. What they was doing in Galatia was this. They were saying, yeah, you got that Jesus stuff. Yeah. But if you're really going to be saved, you got to believe on Jesus, but you still got to keep all the law and the commandments. What were you saying? What Jesus did on the cross was not enough. See, when you realize you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when you realize that it's by your faith in what it is Jesus has already done, you stop trying to earn what God has already made available to you. And then what do? You just receive it by faith. You receive it by faith. And when you begin to see yourself as the righteousness of God, you begin to meditate on the fact that you are the righteousness of God. You begin to read about what it means to be the righteousness of God and to be righteous. Guess what you'll begin to do? Because you receive new information, you'll get comprehensive insight, and then you'll get revelation. And that revelation about what the word says. See, many people have information, but they have no revelation. So there's really no manifestation in their life because they never act out on what it is that they heard. But when you get the information and then you meditate on it to the point where you get the revelation, and then after you get the revelation, you begin to bring about the manifestation because you have impartation. You begin to perfect, or you begin to do what the word says to do. then you will be a walking epistle, read of men. And they'll say, man, what happened to you? You said, man, I made a decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I made a decision that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that I could not get it in my own strength because he gave me grace. It's by grace through faith that I am saved, not of works. It's a gift from God, lest any man should boast. And if anybody else tries to teach me any kind of other gospel, talk to me about a whole different spirit than the Holy Spirit, are trying to present to me a different Jesus who didn't die on the cross and is the only way to the Father, then I am under no obligation to receive it. And I'll reject that. But one thing I'll never do is I won't reject the word. And I've made Jesus the Lord of my life, which means the word of God is the final authority. When you set the record straight and you draw the line in the sand and says, I'm not going to believe anything else other than what the word of God has to say. I don't care who else says it. God's word is my final authority. Your life will never, ever again be the same. We're setting the record straight because Jesus said in the last days, the number one indicator that he will be returning soon is deception will run rampant. And next week when we get together, man, we're going to be talking about the perversion. We started talking about perversion, about how taking perversion is just not about sex. Perversion can be anything, and how that form of deception will take something that is true, something is good, and make it something worse. Now, on behalf of Pastor Jewin and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us here at Kingdom Encounter Live. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.